John chapter 14. Last time we looked at the verse 2, you were asking the question and endeavoring to answer it. In the words of the Lord, what is heaven? Verse 2 tells us, in my Father's house. So heaven is being in the Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. When we looked at these words, last time we considered heaven as a worthwhile place. It's worthwhile to prepare for heaven. It is something worthwhile to look forward to. We considered, first of all, the Lord's description of the place. Namely, the Lord called it His Father's house. Heaven goes by a variety of names. It's called a city, a kingdom, a country, the New Jerusalem. The Lord called it My Father's house. And then we noted also, not only the description, but it's also a definite place. The Lord Jesus, of course, who is the faithful and true witness, will always tell us the truth. And the Lord here tells us, if it were not so, I would have told you. So it's a definite place. In my Father's house are many mansions. We can believe the Lord. There's no need to have any doubts in our minds or in our hearts regarding the place called heaven. It's a definite place. It's not a figment of someone's imagination. It's not a fairy story. It is a definite place. The Lord says, in my Father's house are many mansions. We noted also that since heaven is called the Father's house, that means that it is a dwelling place. We look upon our houses as dwelling places. We look upon our houses as our homes. So for the Christian, heaven is home. We're going to the Father's house. That's our home. It is our home in eternity. In my Father's house are many mansions. This truth is often seen in the word mansions. Because we pointed out the word mansion means abode. The same word is found in verse 23. Translated mansions in verse 2. In verse 23, it is there translated abode. So we can see clearly that heaven is our abode, our home, our dwelling place. That's why we're able to sing, we're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. We're going home to glory. The apostle said in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And again, as we pointed out, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8, the word present. The word present means at home. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present or at home with the Lord. Always looking forward to being at home with the Lord. That now brings us today to consider heaven. Yes, it's a worthwhile place. Today I want to consider heaven is a wonderful place. The Savior said, I go to prepare a place for you. Three times in relation to this matter, the Lord has said, I go. In verse 2, I go to prepare a place for you. In verse 3, and if I go. Verse 4, and whither I go. Three times the Lord emphasizes that he's believing his disciples and saying to them, I go. Those are that word, those two little words, I go, would speak to us of the Lord's pathway. He says, I go. So where is he going? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord was going to his Father's house. He was going home. But before the Lord Jesus would reach home, his pathway would lead him and take him to Calvary. And so when he said to the disciples, I go, yes, he was telling them that he was going to his Father's house. But in going, he had to go via the cross. He had to go to Calvary before that work of preparation could begin in his Father's house. There was another work of preparation to be done. And that work of preparation was to be done at the cross. The Lord must pay the price of our redemption. The Lord must pay the price of our preparation. Because you see, not everybody will go into the Father's house. To hear some minister talk today, you think everybody went into the Father's house. Everybody would be going to heaven. But that's not true. As someone has said, and it's oft repeated, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And the Lord Jesus went to the cross to prepare a way for sinners to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And what did he do there? Well, he went to the cross to pay the price of our redemption, to shed his blood, that our sins may be blotted out, because no man or woman is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven with all their sins. It's impossible. This corruption shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. No corrupt man or woman will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who have been prepared. We have on our church sign out there at the side of the road a verse of scripture. I trust people driving by take time to read it. Amos 4 verse 12. Prepare to meet thy God. See, it needs to be preparation. Prepare to meet thy God. How does a sinner prepare? He goes to the cross, where the Lord Jesus paid the price of the sinner's preparation for heaven. Because as we read in Zechariah 13 verse 1, that at the cross of Calvary, a fountain was opened to the house of David. What for? For sin and uncleanness. the Lord Jesus went to the cross purposely to save a people who would one day be with Him in heaven for all eternity. Not everybody will be in heaven. I don't care what ministers say. I don't care what people believe. What I believe is what the Lord Jesus said. And the Lord Jesus has told us, in my Father's house. Now, if the Lord Jesus looks upon the God of heaven as His Father, and we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior and our elder brother, Christ's Father is our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father's in heaven. And we are going to His house one day. We're going to the Father's house. But the only way we can enter the Father's house is if we know the Lord Jesus as Savior. And we come to that place called Calvary where the Lord Jesus laid down His life. And where that fountain was opened for sin and uncleanness so that all, but not all will, plunge beneath that cleansing flood and lose all their guilty stains. Not everyone will do that. Men and women will pass by the cross. Men and women will turn their back upon Christ and upon His gospel. We have to say today, on the authority of this Bible, the Word of God, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you've never been washed in the blood, you will not be in heaven. And there's only two places where the souls of men will go after death. There's only two places. Heaven or hell. There's no other place. One or the other. Where will your soul be? It's a sobering thought, isn't it? Will we see you in the Father's house? Will you join us in the Father's house? Sometimes we're invited. You're invited. I'm invited to the homes of other people. And when we get there, we meet others that we know. We have a great time of fellowship. We've been invited to their house. We maybe have a meal, we have a good time of fellowship. But let me ask you, will you be in the Father's house? You're given the invitation. The Lord told the story of the king who had a feast for his son, who was being married. And he sent out his servants and told them, tell the people, come, for all things are now ready. Did everyone come who received an invitation? No. Weren't interested. And the king sent out his servants again. Told them to go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in and tell them, yet there is room. The first set of invitations went out, and not everybody accepted the invitation because there was still room. The servants were told to go out again. The invitation has been given many times from this pulpit. And you've heard the invitation given from other pulpits and from other believers. Have you accepted the invitation? If you don't accept the invitation, you'll not be in heaven. That's the sad and the solemn truth of the matter. As the hymn writer has put it, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross, listen, leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go, the way of the cross is home. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So we have the Lord's pathway. We have here also the Lord's preparation. I go to prepare a place for you. Remember hearing someone saying, well, the Lord has gone to his Father's house over 2,000 years ago and he's still making preparation. It's going to be some place. And it is going to be some place. Indeed, it is some place. I go to prepare a place. Verses 2 and 3. The word prepare means to make ready. Again, we use the illustration. We're invited to someone's home, and the host spends time making ready, making preparation for her guest to come. Well, that's exactly what the Lord tells us here, told the disciples he would do. I go to prepare a place for you, or I go to make ready a place for you. That where I am, there ye may be also. I'll be in that place, and you'll be there with me. What a glorious thought this is, just to know that the Lord has gone before us to make ready a place in the Father's house for our coming one day. What a wonderful place heaven must be. We behold the wonders of the Lord's creation here on earth. We're always filled with wonder. We behold the glory of a sunset. When we see the beauty of the flowers in the garden and the beauty of God's creation in the animal kingdom. What a glorious place this is. When we behold the creation of God, his handiwork. But it's nothing to what heaven will be like for us. I go to prepare, to make ready a place for you. You know what Paul said? I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. And you know, when we get to heaven, we'll say with the Queen of Sheba, remember when she went to see Solomon to prove his wisdom? And she proved his wisdom. And then she looked around her and saw his servants and saw his dwelling place. And what did she say? She says, the half was not told me. She'd heard many things about Solomon and his dwelling place, but when she got there, she says, the half was never told me. It's more than I expected. I believe we'll say the same thing. When we get to heaven, oh, we'll say, the half was never told me. I wasn't told the half of what heaven is really like. I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, isn't it good to love the Lord? Isn't it good to be in love with Christ? He's gone to prepare a place for us. Now, since the Savior has gone to make ready a place for his people, we can be sure of something. If he's gone to prepare a place for us, we can be sure it'll be to our liking. When we were in Newton Abbey, we had a new manse built. 5-bedroom, Tudor-style manse. As it was being built, we were able to go there every day and see how the workmen were getting on. And there were certain parts of that house that they asked us what we would like. How would you like perhaps a living room designed or whatever it was? But you had some choices so that when we would move into that manse, it would be to our liking. We wouldn't be going in there and saying, oh, I don't like that design, or I don't like that room, or we don't like this. It was built to our liking. What will heaven be like? It'll be to our liking. There will be nothing in heaven that will prove to be objectionable to us. We will love every inch of heaven. We'll walk through the Father's house and we will love it all because it has been prepared for us by the Lord. It'll be a place, yes, to our liking. It'll be a place that will be perfectly suitable to the people of God. A place without sin. A place without sorrow, a place without suffering, a place without Satan. No more temptations, no more railing accusations, no more discouragements, no more defeats, no more disappointments. I tell you, it'll be to our liking. What a wonderful place heaven must be. It will be our perfect dwelling place. It'll be our peaceful dwelling place. It will be our pure dwelling place. It'll be suitable for every Christian's desire. What a wonderful place heaven must be. To be there, to be there. What must it be to be there? And since the Savior knows all about each of his children, he has gone to prepare a place for us so wonderful that when we get there, we'll not want to be anywhere else. Will not want to leave the Father's house. come back to this sin-cursed world. Will not want to leave the Father's house and come back to all this evil and corruption and immorality, wickedness and sinfulness. Why would we want to come back? And this is something that can comfort us when our loved ones go on before us. We miss them, yes, terribly. But we can take comfort in knowing that they're in heaven and they wouldn't want to come back again. There's nothing on earth to be compared to heaven. So we will happily sing, "This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Why? Because this isn't our home. We're going home to the Father's house one day. That's home. Notice something else here along with the pathway and the preparation. There's something here that's very personal. Notice what the Lord said, "I go to prepare a place for you." That makes it personal, doesn't it? "I go to prepare a place for you." I'm going to do it for you. So the Lord has not only cared for us during our sojourn here. His care extends into eternity. "I go to prepare a place for you." Here he has said, "I will never leave you." Here we are told, when we sit at the Lord's table and partake of the elements, we read the words that were given to Paul. "I have received also what the Lord gave to him," and he was giving it to the people as they sat at the Lord's table. He repeated the Lord's words, "This is my body which is broken for you." Personally. And when we take the cup, "This is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you." John 16, verse 7. "It is expedient for you that I go away." John 16, 26. "I will pray the Father for you." That's personal. Now he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." You see, when the Lord told the disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you," the Lord Jesus had not only his disciples upon his heart, but dear Christian, he had you and I on his heart also. And when he went to prepare a place, it was a place, yes, for the disciples, it was a place for us. "I go to prepare a place for you. I'm doing it all for you. I went to the cross and I died for you. I went to the cross and I suffered for you and I shed my blood for you. And I gave up the ghost for you and I rose again from the dead and I did it for you." It's all for us. I go to prepare a place for you. See how much we mean to the Lord? You see how much the Lord has us on His heart and on His mind and in His love? I'll do all these things for you. So heaven is a worthwhile place. Heaven is a wonderful place. And finally, heaven is a welcoming place. Note there what the Lord told His disciples. I will come again and receive you unto Myself. So heaven is a welcoming place. When we go to heaven, we will receive a welcome. A welcome that we have never seen the like of before. We've never experienced a welcome on earth like the welcome we will receive in heaven. I will receive you unto Myself. The word receive means to take or to bring alongside. The Lord will take us alongside. You know, you get that picture in your mind. Your visitors come to your door. You've been preparing that evening, maybe all day, for your visitors to arrive. And the doorbell rings and you open the door and there they are, one by one. You receive them. Maybe you embrace them. You take them alongside you. Maybe you put your arm around them. They feel welcome in your home. So it will be in heaven, only on a much greater scale. Wonderful to think that, isn't it? Just to dwell upon that. Think of it. The Lord will take us alongside Him. That's how much He loves us. That's how much He will be glad to see us. You know, we'll be glad to see the Lord. But equally so, the Lord will be glad to see us. He's waiting for us. As the host in the Father's house. And He's waiting for the day of our arrival. And He'll take us alongside Him. Not the first time the Lord threw His arms around an individual. Surely the Lord will embrace us that day, as we will Him. So heaven is a welcoming place. First of all, we see the return of the Lord. The departing Savior assures His disciples, I will come again and receive you unto Myself. I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. I will come again. The Lord is coming back again. The Lord will return one day. Once again, we can believe everything the Lord tells us. We need not doubt one word. And the Lord Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. He's coming again. And he'll send his angels to the four corners, and he'll gather in his elect, his people, those who accepted his invitation, those who went to the cross and plunged beneath the blood that was shed there. That's who he's coming for. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, I will look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. But whether or not we will be here when the Lord comes again, he's still coming for us. He may take us in death. And that means the Lord's coming for us. When a child of God passes away, perhaps in the middle of the night, his family and friends will say, the Lord took him last night. The Lord took him home last night. The Lord still will come for us. Someday, in the words of Revelation 11 and 12, someday we will hear a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither. Come up hither. And those around us will say, indeed the Lord has come for him. And when I am to die, receive me, I will cry. For Jesus hath loved me, and I cannot tell why. But this I do find. We too are so joined. He'll not live in glory and leave me behind. Christ will not be in heaven and leave us behind. Take the words of the Savior to heart. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We must be in heaven. You know something? It is impossible for the Christian not to be in heaven. Because Paul tells us in Colossians 1 verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why we'll be in heaven. Christ is our hope of glory. And if Christ is in glory, we'll be there too. So we have then the return of the Lord, we have the reception by the Lord. Yes, the Lord promises, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Would you love those words? I will come again and receive you unto myself. Sure, that's what the Lord has been doing. That's what he did all the years of his ministry upon earth, and he has been doing ever since. He has been receiving sinners. I will come again and receive you. Just as he received us when we came as a sinner to Jesus. I will come again and receive you. There's the thought of it being a personal welcome. I will come again and receive you. I will receive you. I will be the one, not the angels of heaven, not seraphim or cherubim, not even a glorified saint. The Lord Himself, with outstretched, nail-pierced hands, will be the one who will receive us. Glad to see us. He'll be glad to see us. Stephen, first Christian martyr, saw his Savior standing waiting to receive him. Acts 7 verse 56, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man stand on the right hand of God. Christ, he saw him standing. Now we know that the Lord Jesus, whenever he ascended to his heavenly Father, sat down at the right hand of God, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And people have asked, well, if he sat down, why then did Stephen see him standing? Here's the answer. The Lord stood to receive his martyred saint. Christ will stand to receive us. We may have loved ones in glory who will be eager to welcome us home, but the Lord will be the first to welcome us. The Lord will be the first. When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer. When I reach the other side, and His smile shall be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him. I shall know Him as redeemed by His side. I shall stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him. How shall I know Him? By the nail prints in His hand. He'll be the first to welcome us. In the last place, you have our residing with the Lord. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We're going to reside with the Lord forever. There you have, first of all, the prospect. Poor sinner doesn't have a prospect like that. Where I am, there ye may be also. Heaven is a place called the Father's house where the Savior resides. That's where we will reside with Him. That's our prospect. The Lord's there. We look forward to heaven because the Lord's there. But for the unconverted, those who have never received and accepted the invitation to come and receive Christ, what's their prospect? Place of outer darkness where the Lord is not to be found. As well as the prospect, there's the presence. How often while we sojourn here upon earth have we prayed long for the Lord's presence. His presence by the sick bed. His presence in time of sorrow. His presence in time of suffering. His presence when we sit in solitude and loneliness. His presence during the storms of life. Because we love having the Lord's presence. It's special. And the psalmist knew what joys the presence of the Lord brings. For he said, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16, verse 11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And I tell you, believer, our cup of joy will be overflowing and will never empty when we enter into the presence of Christ. In his presence, fullness of joy. We'll have the fullness of joy forever. But the unsaved will be in torments forever and ever. And then you have the permanence. This is very permanent. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. We will be singing forever and ever and ever and ever. And again, in the words of the psalmist, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sometimes people have to be put out of their houses. We'll never be put out of the Father's house. That's our eternal home. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord, the Father's house, forever. So we have considered what is heaven. We'll be looking at another aspect of heaven next week. Thinking of the wonders of heaven. Thinking of the worship of heaven and the way to heaven and the wedding in heaven, the marriage supper of the Lamb. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Most loving and gracious God, we bless thee for the word, how it encourages us, how the child of God has much to look forward to. We praise thee for the glorious prospect. We praise thee, Lord, for the preparation, a place that has been made ready for the child of God. And we praise God it will be to our liking. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts. May more and more souls make preparation for the day when the Lord shall come for them. Lord, may it be a case of the words been uttered to them, come up hither. Instead of depart from me, I never knew you. Lord, answer prayer. Bless us throughout this Sabbath day. Be with us, Lord, again as we return to thy house tonight. Lord, to learn more of thee and thy word. Indeed, Lord, in light of the word, to learn more about ourselves. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.